This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to disseminating the Torah and Mesorah of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky and his Rebbeim. Please consider donating at eshelpublications.com to help us continue our mission.
We're holding here in Piska Nun, which is Daf Yud Gimel, Dan Daf Yud Gimel, and then Yaakov, it's Piska Nun. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Mipnei Man Nikra Yosef Atzamas Bechayov, so it says that Yosef spoke about himself. So he described himself as bones, despite the fact that it was his thing, and he was doing it, so to speak, speaking about his after his death. But Chazal found over here that Yosef describing himself as atzamos bechayev is a remez at some sort of onesh. Since his brothers were kept saying Avdecha Avinu, Avdecha Avinu, Avdecha Avinu, and he sort of by shtika, he sort of consented to it, so that's why he was punished. V'Amar Reb Yehuda, Amar Rav, Itam Reb Yosef. Because he was, he felt himself better than them. It says, V'yosef word mitzrayma, amar abba aloza, amar al tikri hoyred, ala hoyred, shahoyred, signori paramigadulasi. Okay, so the Masha says over here, so first of all, it's where, I mean, why didn't he protest when his father, Lemaisa, he couldn't protest. I mean, his brothers, that was part of the game, was that they're going on and they're saying, Avdecha Avinu, Avdecha Avinu. What's he going to say? You can't call my father that name. It's hard to say that there was a real taina to Yosef. So what exactly went on over there? The onesh is that he's called atzamos. So it somehow has to fit the problem, has to fit the not being moich about his father. So Masha says over here, in general, about he says that being the shleisha shutfim in a person, and the father is one of those shutfim, and it says the bones come from the father, there's some sort of remez there to the father, that's what Masha learns, and so on. Let's take a look at the Maral. Shalei mocha b'kveir avi. Kirish. Shehoiloi lehakpid v'liois mispoil kashe shama she'omru abducha vino. V'loi emakt v'loi mispoil b'davazeh. So the Maral sort of gives it a fine tune. The Maral says that the problem was that he didn't flinch. In other words, everyone understands that he couldn't get up and say anything without giving away the game. I mean, he had to go through this whole thing. This was the Ashkocha that they would think it's the Shalit and so on. But somehow Chazal felt that there's no indication in the Pasuk that he squirmed when they said Avdecha Avinu. And he said the mispoil is a reaction to something that is a metzias. Let's talk about it. Let's explain this a little bit. It says the midos are expressed many times as being in the lev, in the heart. And it's one of those hard things of also being as belev. The pasuk uses many, many words, many, many different ideas that are sort of embodied in a heart. And it's hard to understand because a heart is a piece of meat. It has nothing in it. You can transplant hearts from people and they remain the same people, and that's that. And it's been done so many times. So why is the heart used as that dogma? So I think the pshat is like this. There are ideas that I have. For instance, I know that people in Africa are starving. I know that people in the Bahamas have been terribly affected by the flood. Someone will ask me, do you know this? I say, yes. How do you feel about this? I say, it's terrible. Now, the person will say, I've attached sensors to your body. Your heart is not beating more quickly or more slowly. You're not sweating. There is no physical reaction that in any way is caused by this yediyah. So I would protest very strongly if someone would tell me it doesn't bother you, you think it's okay. I certainly don't have nothing against the people in the Bahamas, but nothing about it has evoked any physical sign. So the word emotion minimally means a physical reaction. Now, there are different degrees of reaction. Some people will cry, some people will jump, some people will display many behaviors. The minimal behavior displayed in a reaction is the heart, some sort of change in the heart. It's like when you have somebody who's lying and you give them a polygraph test. So some people lie, there's external. Some people, there are no external signs, but the minimal of internal recognition is there some change in the internal physiology, something about the heart beating slightly differently or something or other reacting some way. If that doesn't happen, that means nothing has crossed over into my physical self. So if we can describe emotions in a way that gives us a minimal, as opposed to when I say, so when someone comes along and tells me, I don't know, the snails, the blue-backed snails in East Africa are dying, I really don't care. I don't think, nobody's explained to me why that's such a tragedy. And I can say, I don't think it's a tragedy. When they tell me people are dying somewhere, I do think it's a tragedy. And my mind and seichel agree with that, but it hasn't crossed over the threshold of any type of emotion. And I can definitely say it hasn't evoked any emotion in you. The word that is used to describe that is called hispalus. Hispalus means being affected. In other words, something in my body has been affected by something external. It's not my conscious decision to do X, Y, or Z. It's a reflex. It's actually engineered by the outside thing. So a genuine emotion is when my reaction, whatever it is a reflex. I heard this news, I started crying. I heard this news, I jumped. I was so joyful. So when a person became a mispael, that's a certain sign of emotional connection. I once said there's a guy that people say over it says ace record, ace fod ace record, it's without a lamed. All the other ones say it's with a lamed. Ace lehov, ace lisno, ace is that ace record, ace fod are without lamed. So the guy says the lamed is for limud Torah, you're allowed to be in vatal Torah for it, and so on. I once thought pshat. There are certain things that are okay to say, let us go do it. So, ace livnot, let us go and build. That's fine. We say, you know what, why are we sitting around doing nothing? Let's drop our sleeves, let's build a building. Ace laharos, and so on, ace lakarna, to est and toa. But schok and rekod and sfo, dancing and hesped, have to come naturally. They can't be a premeditated, engineered, type of reaction. It has to come by itself. So the lamed is to go and to do something. The lamed is to do. So those have to be spontaneous. One of my brother-in-laws who learned the Beis HaTalmud. Beis HaTalmud was the Mira Yeshiva in America. The real, the strongest chabura of the Mir, the Chashiva, they founded the Beis HaTalmud in America, and there were real mirrors in everything, learning and personality. So two of my brothers learned there, actually. And one of them, when he, you know, when he decided to go to Eretz Yisrael, and this was in the 60s, before 67, it was a whole big thing. So he spoke to one of the heads, you know, one of the Ram there, and you know, they had a long schmooze. Then when he got up, the person says to him, "Well, I guess we have to kiss now." So I always thought of that as being kind of a very, you know, like, you know, yes, hini muchanam zuman, you know, we must bestow a kiss at this point. That's the, you know, it's kind of, you know, instead of being a spontaneous gesture, it's kind of, you know, hini muchanam zuman. But al kapanim, over here also, so the key word that we're talking about is hispa'alus, that a person is affected by something, and therefore there's a reaction. So certain things are certain things we don't want hispa'alus. A person is, you know, in the Vardic, they preached not being mispoil, because you don't need to be shocked, affronted, in any way intimidated by the world. That was the Vardic. But when something of Kedusha comes and a person is not affected by it, that's a problem. By the way, in Chabad, there was a whole big struggle, you know, in the very early stages about hispa'alus, kunshasa hispa'alus. They believed very strongly that emotion needs to be generated from within, and how much is important to generate emotion, and emotion tends to be a watered-down version of sitters. This was a topic in a certain type of an stoic type of Hasidus. But I'll go upon him. So he says over here, the problem was, why didn't you flinch? How did you hear somebody call it Avraham Avinu? So with Mela, he says the atzamos are the brittle part of the person. They're the part that is not the flesh and blood of a person. You grasp somebody's hand, the hand contracts. You let go, the flesh is flexible. And therefore, it allows itself to be spoiled. So when somebody grabs my hand strongly, my flesh contracts, it lets go, it expands a bit. The bones, they either break or they stay, but they don't contract. So that's why it's ke'ilu, all that was left was the atzamas, not the flesh and the blood. That's kind of the way the Maral explains it. V'yesh lefarish kipshutoi, sh'rei ksiv leman yiruchun yamechetz koid ave'im, v'nikra b'chayev atzamas k'lo yimeis mipnei sh'lei macha. So it's a certain type of description of sort of an early misi, spoken of himself as a dead person. In other words, there's no fault in the big picture. He was the Mekayim Kibur Aveim. He brought his father and everything, but this point over here was a tying against it. So the Maral throws in a point over here. They're very interesting. It doesn't elaborate on it, but it's a very, very important point. A person who does not, our sense of valuing things outside of us is in indirect proportion to how much we're full of ourselves. If I am very, very full of myself, and I think very, very well of myself, there's much less room for other people. So I don't respect other people, because either or. Respect, and I want to explain it, you could say it very pashut. We tend to think of respect as being an evaluation of how chashuv something is. So, you know, so if I'm very, very chashuv, then other people are not so chashuv. If I'm very, very strong, then many other people that are considered strong are not strong, so strong. That's one way of looking at it. There's a little bit of a deeper way. It's covet has to do with the how strong is that person's existence. You know, when I do something, when I refrain from doing something, or Joseph Ekweda, it means because your place in this mix is non-negotiable. You're here, and I have to figure out how to deal with it. Masha'ein Kane. So when a person senses, so when a person comes to a place where he feels everybody's very, very chashiv, and he doesn't feel so he's busy with deferring to the other people. If the person feels very strong about his own metzias, other people's metzias are not important. And, you know, mani kana kol kan type of thing. So mainly he says over here, this came about because he was so used to getting this covet in Mitzrayim. B'meila, he was less sensitive on Kavod Aviv. And Kavod Aviv was less of a sensitive thing. I want to add a point, sort of a parallel point, I think is important. Kibud Av V'Eim. So we don't think, so A, the Torah never says to obey your parents. Everyone translates obeying, it's wrong. The halach is, I don't want to say it when there's ketanim around, but you don't have to obey your parents. And it's halach, if your parent tells you, I'd like you to marry this young woman, or I don't want you to marry this young woman, you do not have to listen to them. But you cannot disrespect them. Now, so the Torah did not say you have to obey them. The Torah did not say, the Torah said you have to love them. The Torah did not say you have to support them. The halacha is you don't have to. It's with their money. So true, if a person, they need money and he doesn't support them, there's a me'era, those are all true things. But the etzem halacha is not. The etzem halacha is kibbut. So the things of kibbut seem to be ceremonial, standing up for them, not being so zedvarav. It's some sort of protocol. Why is that the most important element in you know, I mean, protocol, we you know, so here's this person, he's not supporting his parents, he's doing what he feels like doing, but he'll always stand up when they come in, b'chulu, b'chulu. I always say how we get it wrong. Our bederach klal, when someone has a fight with his parents, so he has a whopper of a fight and says all sorts of things. At the end, he defers a lot of times because of Kibbut Av. It's the opposite. You can do, you don't have to listen to them, but all the things, all of your body language and all of your regular language is usser, the reiser. So the chiv is covered. Why? Why is it covered? And the answer is the yachas to our parents expresses a metzias. Nobody in this world starts with himself. And if I don't recognize that, then that's why it says I don't recognize the Eibishter either. If the world starts with from what I perceive psychologically and what I remember, then nothing came before you. Not your parents, not your Ribono Shel Olam. Respecting your parents is the acknowledgement that they are more kavur than you. They were around for sure, and your existence vis-a-vis them was negotiable. It's expressing a core value of emes. In other words, my existence is a branch of their existence, and not vice versa. So the metzias of being mechabed is giving them that metzias. When he says over here, if somebody is a Baal Kavod himself, it means he begins to see his own metzias as non-negotiable. His own metzias is shalom within itself, so to speak, and that's why he has a hard time giving over that metzias to the parents. I think I once mentioned we had a story. A boy in Eshet Torah got engaged to an Israeli girl. The Israeli girl came from parents. Her real parents were a boy and a girl who made a mistake, and they had a child and gave it up for adoption. You know, as soon as she was born, a childless couple, Holocaust survivors, and a totally chiloni kibbutz adopted them. they treated her like a child. When she became a Chozeres Betshuva, they went along with it. You know, in other words, they let it. And then before she got married, they told her, we've saved up $3,000. It's yours. Do with it as you see fit. And, you know, and build your life as you see fit. So I was talking about it. And my wife asked if, you know, we were very impressed with it. Are there any halachas of like sitting shiva for these people when they pass away? And I told my wife, no. And not only that, but if her real parents or biological parents pass away, and let's say they're doing ma'isa amcha, they're not, you know, they're shalom mitzvah, whatever it is, she would have to sit shiva for them. And we were both stunned by, like, what's the justice of it? And I said, it's very simple. Without her biological parents, yes, her biological parents had no intention of bringing her to the world. She was an accident, and they did nothing for her after going to this world. Her metzias is there because of them. Her adopted parents did everything for her from that point onwards. She owes them a tremendous amount of Hakara Satov. Definitely, there's no lack of Hakara, but the difference is existing versus non-existence, or a better existence and a less better existence. So understanding that Nakuda, so the covet of the parents is giving their existence the rightful places, so to speak, being the Iker existence and us a possible existence that came from it. And therefore, the more a person is busy with his own covet, the less the person has the ability to give covet to the other. Okay, that's one point. Then it says the next one, why was Yosef Kaidem Achav? Because they said Shehinig Atzma Berabonis. He made himself into authority. So he says, it's why. So why is that? Now, the morale understands it, that it's not an aveira per se. We're not talking about something wrong as much as something that inherently is not shayach to tariach yomim. Ki kashe manig atzma v'rabbonus u'besrora nivdol min haklal at shu nechshav odom yechidi proti ba'atzmoy v'ine mach v'atzatech shara klal. So the Maral says, Manning as a Rabbonus, there was no fault over here in what he did, but the mitzvah of being Manning itself, the Rabbonis, means that you are separating yourself away from the cloud. You're being different. You're not part of the proletarian masses. You're leadership, and that means you have much less of a kiyum than they have. This is a topic Rav Chaim Shulevitz would speak a lot about. And he would speak about lechem abirim ochal ish. It says in Chazal that Yeshua was so chashiv, he needed special schusim to be able to eat man, because he wasn't part of he wasn't together with the klal. So Reb Chaim would ask, he wasn't together with the klal because he was with Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, he was better. He wasn't less, he was better. So Reb Chaim would say, he would quote the Pasuk B'Toich Amen Echi Yeshevas, he would say the hanhaga with the klal always is nitzchias. There's a hanhaga with the klal, and if you stay part of the klal, it goes with you. And therefore Yeshua, because he wasn't part of Klal Yisrael, he wasn't zeichet to the man as Klal Yisrael. So Chazal said that he's so chashev that he had schusim to get it as a yachid, but he lost the schusim being part of Klal Yisrael and got it separate. Reb Chaim would say also would apply it to, he said that during the war, there were some people in Meir Yeshiva, a handful of people that had other possibilities of escaping. In other words, they had a possibility of another passport. There was a handful of people like that who used that, and they were not successful. And he said that, you know, when you're part of a klal, then the schusim you get is the schusim of the klal, and the schusim of the klal have a kiyum. The bris that Hashem made with klal Yisrael that they're not nichle, and all of that that deals with the klal as a klal. When you're dealing with a prat, that requires a whole different range of schusim. There was in Kelm, there was a hanhaga that on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, the Rosh Hashivas did not take aliyas because they didn't want to stand out on the Yom HaDin. That whole story where she said, B'tachah Menachi Yeshev is talking about Rosh Hashanah, actually. That's what Zoya says, it was Rosh Hashanah, it was Yom HaDin. And she said, I'm with everybody. The minute you start making me an exception and I'm coming through a different doorway, then I'm going to have to stand B'din. And that's not a good matziv. I want to be part of everybody else, like everybody else. That's the in Yom HaDin, we're sure the Klal Yisrael as a Klal will make it. So that's where I want to be. So in Kelm, these places, Reb Lezudel also, very typically, he didn't take an Aliyah Rosh Hashanah Kippur because of that Chazal. On the other hand, it says in Halacha that during a Seizim Yitshuvi, you are supposed to get an Aliyah. So Shabbos Mincha, Shabbos Shuva Mincha was his kviyas for getting an aliyah. That was his kviyas, but he didn't want to do because talking about Amir Shabbos. And by the way, I mean, Chaim Shulevitz would be is very interesting because Chaim Shulevitz himself was a very unusual person. His own hanhagas in yeshiva had been extraordinary and very unusual, and you know he would learn crazy hours, he would sleep crazy. His hanhaga was not normal hanhagas. But when it came to others, Reb Chaim was extremely, extremely makpid that people should act within the framework of what's normal. In other words, he was very against, let's say you have a kid in the cheder and you want all sorts of unusual things. You should learn more hours afterwards. This person should do. Any activity that pulled him into the range of doing things not like the klal, Reb Chaim was extremely against it. His own children, he wouldn't allow things to be very different, and it was all part of his hanhaga, that a tzibur, and he says over a very interesting mashal, v'ilu amayim shem b'nahar mekuyamim, or like, k'amayim shem ma'atzim emarim lekabel hefzid, amayim shem b'nahar mekuyamim. So water that you take away from circulation becomes spoiled very quickly. The river, because that's the place of the water, and that's where the water is going to, that is stable. That's always like that. It's a very interesting phenomena. So he says there's a difference between the tzibur, the roiv, to the yochid. In many areas, in medical and so on, when you do a statistic of a large sample, the larger the sample, if it's an evenly distributed sample, the more stable and consistent the numbers will be. So if 50% of a large group doesn't get this disease or gets this disease, that number will be consistent very far. It doesn't vary very much. A yachid, every yachid could be an outlier and could be very unusual. But when you ask yourself in a tzibur, what are the variations? They tend to be minimal. The larger the sample, those numbers become very frozen. And he says over here, mayim shem benor mekuyamim, was when the water is in its place and its element, that tends to be very, very stable and stays that way. When it changes, and when you separate out some water, then it loses the general water properties, and it starts becoming spoiled. It starts, you know, getting whatever it is and so on. So that's his second piece over here, the two tainis against it. I want to hear just a general nekuda about these two things. Sometimes you find things in Chazal, you know, when they have this type of a fault that they find with somebody or something, you sometimes can see it as an avera. In other words, the person did an avera and he got a punishment for it. Over here, in these two items, especially the Maral explains, we're not talking about an avera as much as a metzias. I don't see in either the two cases over here that Chazal seem to point out a fault as much as a reality. It's ke'ilu, there are certain realities. Somebody who's not a mispoil is a getter of atzomos. It's even when he's living, when I say this person is stone cold, he shows no emotions, so I'm saying he's all bones, then basically I'm describing a certain metzias. So the fact that Yosef didn't flinch, and when he said it, describes a person who can use the word atzamos on himself, appropriately. The same thing here also. His dying, yes, he was the king of Egypt. He had to be that. There wasn't any real way around it, but it still doesn't belie the fact that this is metzias, and it is, it's part of that, part of the problems of that metzias, that this is what happens to you. There's a Gemara also, I just want to add this point. It says that a person gets his bones from his father and his flesh and blood from his mother. So it doesn't mean, I mean, biologically, I don't know, it's hard to translate exactly that. But Lemaisa, a person consists of a balance of two opposite personalities in this regard. On the one hand, a person needs to have a sense of self. This is me, and this is where I don't budge, because if I were to budge, it's not me. That's called the atzamas of the person, meloshen atzmius. This is the self of the person. A being, an animal that does not have a skeleton like a jellyfish, looks like a jellyfish. It looks like whatever it is that you put it into. Wherever you squished it, wherever you squashed it, whatever you did with it, that's what it is. On the other hand, something that has no flexibility, no give and take, is just pure steel. It's like it's something that is you don't want to interact with it, because any interaction with it is deadly. It doesn't yield. And it doesn't, you know, and you can't interact with something else. It stands by itself, and that's it. Two pieces of metal grating against each other will snap. There's no give and take over there. So a person's metzias requires two facets. It requires atzamos, which is a getter of atzmias. It's a getter of something which is, it's unyielding. It's inflexible. This is my atzmius. I also need to have around it a part of me that is supple. It gives. It can, you know, it can squeeze in. It can squeeze out. It's in the interaction with the world around me. That's where I interact. There's the flexibility and the giving way exists in that. So in the partnership of the father and the mother is these two tchunas that are very different. The Gemara says, fascinating Gemara, there was this woman who was married to a chassid, and she would tie his tefillin every day. And then he died, and she married a muhsin, a guy who would collect taxes. In those days, that was not a very, very, it was usually rishis. In the taxation, those days, as bad as you think it is today, in those days, it was purely criminal. It was what you can steal from who. And they used to tie it like a knot to present to the person who paid his taxes. So she would sit with him doing that. And the point that I guess the point that Chazal wanted to point out was a woman has the koach to shtel tzu. So the husband was a big tzaddik, she shtel tzu. The husband was a muhsin, she shtel tzu. So that ability lies, a person gets from his mother. The not giving the sort of sense of self a person gets from his father, and together that's a tzur sada. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions? Any points?
Did the Rebbe Yosef called himself Atzamis?
Right. So I don't know if it was a sort of a Freudian slip of some sort, or the pasuk quotes that to say that this is an important statement on his part, a telling statement. I'm not sure.
And also, the Maral says he's Baal HaKavod. It's not necessarily a negative thing, is it?
I mean, in he had to be that way, and you know, he was the one that was looked up to as the ruler of Mitzrayim. As I said, I don't know if they're doing as much as fault as much as describing reality. Here is somebody who is a Bala covered, and therefore other people's covered kind of doesn't has no place.